You know what? Welcome to all of you who are here today that are brand new to the church. We love that you're here. We love you come to be a part of our church family. I love our church family, and we would love for all of you to connect in an incredible way to our church family. And if you've been wondering, okay, how could I do that? Because even though this may seem like a big church, it really isn't. We're a community and a family that loves each other, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. The best way to connect is to go to Next Step with Chuck, which is next week, 1 o'clock. We'll give you lunch. We'll have children's ministry for your children, and I'll be sharing my testimony. I'll share the history of the church, the DNA of the church. We'd love to have you be a part of that. So if you want, you could just come, but if you would sign a connection card and let us know you're coming, that would actually give us a better heads up for food and things like that. So come to that, bring friends, love to have you be a part of that. I think it'll be great. Now, from celebration moment, get ready. Our Crossroads Christian High School football team won big the other day. It was a good beginning. And so they scored over 30 points. They had a great game. We've got a talented team, and we love our coach, Pernell Sullivan. I also have to give a big shout out, obviously, to Centennial, which opened up with a big win, and they're number 6 in the nation right now. That's cool. And then my alma mater, Corona High, scored over 60 points in an opening win. And Coach Hill actually goes to our church here. So praise God for Coach Hill, who promised me a shirt. But good beginning of the year. So that's the celebration. We know there's something going on in our society that's not good, and it got highlighted in a big way. Some of you know about it. Maybe most of you know about it. There's a website called Ashley Madison that devotes itself to trying to arrange for married people to have affairs. Their tagline is, life is short, have an affair. And some people hacked their website, got all their data, and they ended up releasing that data, personal names, information, addresses, credit card, the whole bit. And 35 million people happened to be on that site. There's a map coming up behind me, and that they've gone and they've figured out where all those people live. Now, you ready for this? This is where it gets really hurtful. 18,000 people in Corona and Norco are registered on that site. That's 15% of the adult population is registered to be on that site. By the way, a couple things I want to say. If you're one of them, then I want you to know Jesus loves you. He loves you, but you need to run to Jesus, not from him. And you need to do that. The other thing is, when you agree now, more than ever, we need a great marriage series. We need to come back to what God has to say about marriage, because God wants your marriage to be a happily ever after marriage. He wants it to be incredible. So starting next week, Pam and I are going to lead a marriage series. We're going to do it together. I'm going to teach on one of the four principles of marriage each week God wants you to have in place. And then Pam and I are going to talk practically about it and honestly about it. And she's being far more honest than I thought she'd be. So get ready for that. And then we're going to talk about a picture of Jesus in that. So it's going to be a great time together. So I want to encourage you, come, bring friends, try not to miss a week. We want to give you homework to do to go make your marriage better. And if you're not married, we want to have you understand how Jesus and you are to have a great intimate relationship in that. Also, don't forget that Dr. Egerich is going to be here in September leading a parent conference. And Pam and I are really excited about that. We're signed up. We're planning on being a part of it. If you have not signed up yet, do it. Dr. Egerich is incredible, phenomenal, gifted, expert, and we're fortunate to have him. And so I want to encourage you more than ever to sign up for that too. And one last thing I want to say is that we are very, very, very blessed by our Generate Ministry team. What Noah's leading out, Pastor Marcus in high school, Craig Olson, who's now with us in junior high, and we look at what they're doing in the next generation. And as we're now coming to the end of the Power of Words series, I really was praying and thought you are going to be blessed by how we're going to end this series, because Marcus is going to be preaching today. You're about to hear from him. Marcus is from England, which you're going to pick up very quickly. The accent is strong and good, but he has a passion for God, and he and Christina are doing amazing in our high school ministry. Last Monday night, there were 374 people at the high school ministry. Isn't that awesome? And they had 19 decisions for Christ. So I want you to know, that this guy, last night he brought it, and he's going to bring it to you right now. But I'd like you to welcome him in a big way. Well, Crossroads, welcome Pastor Marcus.
Man, I'm pumped. I'm excited about what God is going to do in his church this morning. I'm excited. I just want to say a quick thank you to Pastor Chuck. Thank you for allowing me to be able to share the platform with you. It really is an honor and a privilege for me to be up here. So thank you. Thank you. And also, I want to thank you guys. See, Christina and I are not from here, and man, since we've been here, you guys have welcomed us as family, you've loved on us, and so I seriously mean this from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you. Thank you for making us feel like family. We really do love you guys. But as really, really quick, if you didn't know, my background is a Pentecostal background, and so I'm used to people interacting when I preach. And so what I want to do right now is I want to have you guys shout out some things, and then I want you to do it all entire service, because that's what I'm used to. That's what makes me feel comfortable. And so can I hear you shout out amen?
Amen.
Can I hear you shout out hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Can I hear you shout out come on, come on? Can I hear you shout out preach it, white boy? Yeah, good, good. Don't leave me hanging. Don't leave me hanging, all service. I want that all service, all service. But as we are wrapping up our series in the power of words, the title of the message that God really put on my heart this morning is this: tell the truth and shame the devil. Tell the truth and shame the devil. See, you and I have an amazing opportunity to be used by God in a powerful way. And the way that we can do that is by telling the truth and shaming the devil. And so if you take anything away from this morning's message, it's this: you have a story and it needs to be told. Your story has the power to change lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. And God, we thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you for everything that you're going to do. And Lord, I just commit this message into your hands. Lord, I pray that you will just speak through me, Lord, that nothing will come out of my mouth that you do not want me to say. Lord, I pray it will be your voice that they hear and not mine. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you just take over and have your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, when I was growing up, one of my very good friends was an atheist. He grew up in an atheist home, and before I became a Christian, me and him and a few of the other guys, we would go out, we would get drunk, we would party the night away, we would hook up with girls, we would do all of these kinds of crazy things. And then the day came that I became a Christian, that I gave my life to Christ. It was a big shock to the guys, because all of a sudden, I had changed. Not outwardly, but inwardly. There was something different. The desires that I used to have were no longer there. I couldn't explain it, but they were just no longer there. So what took place was my friends watched. They observed. And when they realized that this was no longer a phase, that the life that I was living was real, my atheist friend gave his life to Jesus Christ, because he said, if God can forgive you, then he must be real. And so he went from atheist to believer because he saw the grace of God in someone's life that he never thought it would be possible. And Philemon chapter 1 verse 6 says this in the New King James Version, that the sharing of your faith may become effective in the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Jesus. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Why did I say that? Why did I title the message that? Because your story has the power to change lives. It shames the devil, because the good news of Jesus Christ is being preached in your story. See, no one has the exact same story as you. Your story is different. You might meet someone that has a very similar story, but it's not your story. Because we've all had unique experiences, because each and every single one of us is created uniquely in the eyes of God. That is why your story matters, and that is why your story has the power to change lives. There's numerous ways we can share our faith in Jesus and share our story, but the most effective way is in our words and in our actions. A recent study was conducted in churches all across the United States, where they sat down with people that gave their life to Christ for the very first time. They found the reason behind it is because they knew someone that was a Christian and they watched them. They observed them, they listened to their words, they watched their lifestyle, and when they wanted what they had, they asked them. And then they gave their life to Jesus Christ simply because of watching somebody that called themselves a Christian in their words and in their actions. Do people want what you and I have? Because they should. They should want what you and I have. We as believers should be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that nothing will stop us from sharing our faith. Romans 1:16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." Amen. We just, hallelujah, we just finished our series called Reckless in the high school ministry, because the word reckless means to live without caution. And so do you live your life without caution when it comes to sharing your story, when it comes to sharing your faith in Jesus Christ? I thank God that I am serving in a high school ministry and students that are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, we should want to see people come to know him. Our desire should be to do his work as he has entrusted us to do. The ultimate evangelist and one of my favorite preachers, Reinhard Bonnke. I love that man. He once said this, "Our desire should be to see heaven full and hell empty." Amen. Do you and I desire that? Do you and I desire that? See, we have to stop making the excuses that we're too busy, or it wasn't the right moment, or the time just wasn't there. Our desire should be to see heaven full and hell empty. Do we desire people to come to know Jesus? See, Philip sets us a great example in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And we're going to dive into this incredible story right now. So Acts 8, verse 26, and read along with me. "Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in a chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." I love that Philip was obedient to the Lord and had the desire to spread the gospel. And my first point for you guys this morning is this: chase your chariot. Chase your chariot. Who has God put in your path to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with? We see in that story that Philip was put on the path by God to meet the Ethiopian to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see that Philip ran after the chariot. See, we have to understand that God has put us and strategically placed us where he wants us. Your job is your mission field. Your college is your mission field. Your school is your mission field. Your family is your mission field. Your friends are your mission field. God has handpicked you as his vessel to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around you. Our job is to plant and water the seeds. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 7 says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. What Paul is saying is this. When we share our faith, when we share our story, it's a seed that is being planted. And that may be your job. And someone else will come in and water that seed. Or maybe it's your job to water the seed that someone has already planted. The problem is this, is that when we don't do neither, nothing can happen. Nothing can happen. We have to be planting the seeds. We have to be watering the seeds. God will cause the increase when we start planting and watering the seeds. See, my wife and I, we've had the privilege of being the high school pastors for the last 2 years, as Pastor Chuck said. And when we took over through the transition, there were 20 high school students. Today, we average 160. This past Monday, there was 374 in attendance. We had 7 recommitments and 12 first-time decisions for Christ. Why is that happening? Not because of Christina and I, but simply because the students are being obedient and willing to chase the chariot. They're so desperate to see their friends come to Christ. And these are high school students that we're talking about. The same people that are dealing with peer pressure on a whole different level to what we ever had to. The same people that are dealing with the world's influence thrown in their face every single day. Yet they are rising up and being counted for because they understand the bigger picture. That people are going to hell unless we start doing something about it. What would happen if we as a church took that approach? What would happen if we took that approach where we were unashamed and relentless in going after people? What if we took the approach to set the example for the next generation so the people that they look up to are following them? See, around you are empty seats. That's people going to hell. They're not here. They don't know Jesus. That's someone going to hell. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? There's this old school movie called Ben-Hur. And during the filming of this movie, Charlton Heston, who was the main actor, he had to learn how to drive the chariot. And after much practice, he went to the director and said, I think I can drive the chariot, but I'm not sure I can win. The director, Cecil DeMille, responded with this. You just make sure you stay in the race. I'll make sure you win. Jesus is the exact same with us. It's not about being perfect. It's about making sure that you and I stay in the race. Jesus will make sure that we win. We just have to stay in the race. A way that Satan will take you out of the race is by you not sharing your story, by you not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if you don't do that, the name of Jesus will be unheard of within the next few generations. If we just stop talking about Jesus right now, within the next few generations, no one will know who he is. So what are we going to do about it? Psalm 71, 14 through 18 says this. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long. Though I know not how to relate them all, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me. And to this day, I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Are we willing to chase our chariot? Are we willing to share our story and share our faith in Jesus Christ? Chase your chariot. My second point for you guys this morning is this. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. See, not only did Philip chase his chariot, but when he got there, he opened his mouth. It would have been pretty awkward if Philip had got there after chasing the chariot and said nothing. Could you imagine Philip? He's running, he's chasing after the chariot, and then he gets there and he's like, and doesn't say anything. The Ethiopian would have thought that that was pretty weird. See, some of us are good at chasing the chariot, but then when we get there, we don't open our mouth about Jesus. We don't share our story. We don't share our faith. And this is what happens. Hey, Martha, how's your day going? Oh, it's going good, thank you. Oh, good, I'm glad. How's your puppies? Oh, they're good. They're so cute. Oh, I know, they're really cute. Oh, I know, I just died at the picture of their cuteness when I saw them. Oh, I know. Well, anyway, I wanted to see if you would like to come with me, to get your nails done. Yes, that's what I wanted to ask you. See, God opens the door for us to share our faith and to share our story, but when we get there, we say nothing about him. We have to open our mouth. How will people know about Jesus unless we tell them? Romans 10, 14 through 15 says this, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You have been sent by God to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to those around you. The majority of us here today are here because somebody opened their mouth and told us about Jesus. I'm eternally grateful for my family and for my brother for never giving up on me, for always sharing who Jesus was. And because of them doing that, I now stand up here and I get to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because people bothered to tell me about Jesus. The moment that you entered into a relationship with Jesus, you signed up to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, taking on the privilege to be used by him in a way that will bring hope and life to others. You signed up for that. The question is, do you want to? See, the problem today is that too many Christians use this excuse, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it. There's a great poem that goes like this. There's a clever young guy named somebody else. There's nothing this guy can't do. He's busy from morning till way late at night, just substituting for you. You're asked to do this, you're asked to do that, and what is your reply? Get somebody else to do that job, for he'll do it much better than I. So much to do in this weary old world. So much, and workers so few. And yet somebody else, all weary and worn, is still substituting for you. Stop having somebody else substitute for you. It is your story that can make a difference. It is your story that God wants to use. It is your story that God will use to bring hope and life into other people. I cannot reach the people that God has placed in your life. Pastor Chuck cannot reach the people that God has placed in your life. It is your story, and that is why your story matters, because your story has the power to change lives. The problem is this, that we have the wrong perspective. And one of another great evangelists and another one of my heroes, D.L. Moody, was speaking in this conference in Britain. And whilst he was standing in his hotel, one of his British companions wanted to know the secret of Moody's success in leading people to Christ. And so D.L. Moody sent him to the window of his hotel room, and he told him to look out of the window and tell him what he sees. So the man went, and he said, I see crowded streets. D.L. Moody told him, no, look again and tell me what you see. So he went to the window again and said, I see people. I see men. I see women. I see children. And D.L. Moody, for a third time, said, look again and tell me what you see. And the man became frustrated because he wasn't getting it. And so D.L. Moody, with tears in his eyes, went to the window of his hotel room and said, "I see people going to hell." And until you see people like that, you will never lead anybody to Christ. Second Corinthians 5:14 through 15 says, "Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Does the love you have for Jesus compel you to share your story? Does it compel you to share your faith in Jesus Christ? D.L. Moody said it right. Until we start seeing people as they're going to hell, then we will never lead them to Christ. See, the scary thing is this, is that right now, some of you in here, you have family members going to hell. Husbands, wives, sons and daughters that do not know Jesus Christ. I have family members that do not know Jesus. I know where they're going. But it's my job to share my faith. It's my job to tell them about Jesus. And so we have to make a choice. Are we just going to give up sharing our story? Are we going to quit talking about Jesus? Are we going to stop chasing our chariot? Or are we going to do like Philip did? And are we going to run after our chariot? And when we get there, are we going to open our mouth and share the story and the gospel of Jesus Christ and continue to pray for those that do not know Jesus? We have to make that choice. See, it's much bigger than us feeling embarrassed, feeling ashamed, worrying about what people will think, worrying about what people will think or say. It's much bigger than being concerned about people laughing at us. Because what it truly is all about is that people are going to hell unless we start sharing about Jesus Christ. It's our choice. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Does your heart break for the lost? Does your heart break for the lost? Chase your chariot. Open your mouth. And my third and final point for you guys this morning is this. Keep going. Keep going. See, Jesus is worth talking about. And we should never stop talking about him. Look back at what it said in Acts 8, verse 40. And while you're turning there, I'm grabbing some water. Acts 8, verse 40, because maybe you missed it. They'll put it up on the screen as well. It says this, "Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." So we see that Philip continued preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. He wasn't done at just reaching the Ethiopian. He didn't just dust his hands off and be, "Well, my job is done." He now knows Jesus. He carried on talking about Jesus. He kept going. Is Jesus worth shouting about? Amen. Is he worth shouting about? Is he worth not only living for, but worth to continually shout about? He should be. But do our words and our actions prove that he is? In Luke 8, there's a great story of a demon-possessed man that was known as Legion. Because this man had so many demons in him. And the demons begged Jesus not to send them into the abyss, but send them into a herd of pigs. And so Jesus sent them into a herd of pigs. The pigs went running down into a lake. They killed themselves. And then the people that were tending the pigs came out all angry. And they asked Jesus to leave because they were filled with fear. But look at what it says in Luke 8, verse 38 and 39, picking it up from that story. It said, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Do you and I tell people how much Jesus has done for us? See, the reason that you and I know about Jesus is because people have been talking about him for over 2,000 years. He was worth talking about then, and he is most certainly worth talking about now. And because people spoke about him, it gave you and I the opportunity to come to know him. It gave us the opportunity to know and believe that he is the one true living God. To know and believe that he sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for us. We came to know and believe that his grace and his mercy is more than enough. But just because we know that doesn't mean the people around us know that. It doesn't mean that the people that are outside of those doors know that. So who is going to tell them? We should. We should. And here's why. Because he is amazing. Because he is so awesome. Because his grace is everlasting. Because his mercy is so real. Because his love is unconditional. His desire is you and I. The God that we believe in is so magnificent that he is worth shouting about because our God is a big God. A preacher once said this, how big is your God? See, my God is perfect, infinite, unchanging, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present. There is no one like my God. My God is my Savior, my Redeemer, my Deliverer, my Shield, my Strength, my Rock. There is no one like my God. My God is the one God, the great God, the eternal God, the holy God, the mighty God, the most high God. There is no one like my God. My God is the awesome God, the righteous God, the all-sufficient God, the gracious God, the faithful God. There is no one like my God. My God is the God of glory, the God of heavens, the God of knowledge, the God of truth, the God who sees me. There is no one like my God. My God is the God of my salvation, the God of my strength, the God of compassion, the God of my life, Emmanuel, God with us. There is no one like my God. My God is the Lord our maker, the Lord our miracle, the Lord our peace, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord our shepherd. There is no one like my God. My God is the Lord of hosts, the Lord who provides, the Lord who heals, the Lord who is there. There is no one like my God. My God is the judge of all the earth, the father of his people, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. There is no one like my God. My God is indescribable, incomprehensible, incomparable, invincible, because there is no one like my God. That is the God that you and I believe in. That is the God that you and I worship. That is the God that you and I have given our lives to. That is the God that says that we are forgiven, restored, and redeemed. That is the God that says that you and I are his treasured possession, and that he loves us so much that he sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for us so that we could have a relationship with him. So let your faith in Jesus be all that you need. Share your story. Give God the glory, because there is no one like your God. Right now, what I want to do is this. You can go ahead and be seated. I want to take these next few moments, wherever you're at, and I want you just to start praying and seeking God. Who is it that God has put in your life to share your story with? Who is it that God is telling you to chase your chariot with? Your chariot is out there. Who is it? Who's going to tell them about Jesus if we don't? And so I just want to take the next few moments and I want to invite you to start seeking God wherever you're at. Just close your eyes and just start to seek Him and ask Him, God, who is it? Who is it that I need to reach? You can go ahead and do that right now. As we stay in this moment, in His presence. Maybe you're in here today and you don't have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to give you that opportunity today to come to know Him. And it really is so simple. And there's two things that I'm going to invite you to do. And I'm getting emotional because I just feel the presence of God in this place. I want you to know Him. I want you to know who He is. I want you to know that He is real and that He does love you. And so there's two things I'm going to ask you to do. The first is this. I'm going to lead out in a prayer. And if you do not know Jesus, I want to invite you to pray that prayer with me and invite Him into your life for the first time. But maybe you're in here today and maybe you used to have a relationship with Him, but if you're really honest with yourself, your relationship with Him is not where it needs to be. You got caught up in some things that you know you shouldn't be doing. And you found your relationship with Him just becoming distant. I want to tell you, come back to Him today. He loves you so much. He wants the best for you. Stop running away from Him and run to Him. And so if you want to give your life and open up your heart to Jesus for the first time, or you want to recommit your life to Him, then I'm going to invite you and ask you to pray that prayer with me. The second step is this, is after you've prayed that prayer, we're going to go back into a time of worship. And if you've prayed that prayer, I'm going to invite you that when we will stand and sing, that you make your way out of your seat, you come down one of the aisles, you let us greet you, and then you head on into the room to the right of me called our living room, where there's some amazing people in there that just want to sit down with you. They want to pray with you. They want to love on you. They want to support you in the decision that you have made because it's the best decision that you will ever make. They'll give you a Bible if you need a Bible. And so that's the second step. But the first is just to open up your heart to Him and invite Him in. And so I'm going to pray right now. And then after I've prayed, I'm going to invite you, for those of you in here that want to invite Jesus into your life for the first time or recommit, I'm going to invite you to pray that prayer with me. But first, let me just pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, I just thank You so much for who You are. I thank You for everything that You're doing. I thank You for everything that You're going to do. And Lord, right now, I just lift up the man in here that as soon as I said the word distant, it spoke to him. God, I pray that he comes back to you today. Lord, I pray that he will just meet you. God, may he know that you love him. Lord, I pray for the woman in here, Lord God, that's been having a difficult time with her children. God, that she's been believing the lies of Satan, that she's not a very good parent. And she's been living in those lies. God, I pray that she will just come to you this morning. God, because you love her so much. And so, Lord, we just commit this time into your hands. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will just move and that people will invite you in for the first time and that they'll recommit their lives to you. And so right now, if that's you and you're in here and you want to give your life to Jesus and open up your heart to him for the first time or recommit your life to him, please pray this prayer with me and let Jesus come in. I promise you it's the best decision that you will ever make. But pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. And I ask you right now that you forgive me of all my sin. I repent and say sorry. I open up my heart to you. Please come into my life, dwell in my heart, and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your love, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and make me completely yours. And I thank you that my name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.